Hey, and welcome to the Smart Credit Experience, the place for financial clarity, strategy, and success. I'm your host, Jerry Tolliver, CEO of Smart Credit Solutions and the creator of the Smart Credit Method. Every week, I break down the truth about credit, funding, and building a financially abundant life and business. So if you're ready to learn what lenders are actually looking for, how to build a fundable business, and how to transform your finances, you're in the right place. And today, what we're going to be discussing is why minority business owners are being denied funding at higher rates. Now, this is something that has actually been on my heart for quite a while that I've been noticing has been happening because I work with so many small business owners, black and brown small business owners, people that are really like first generation entrepreneurs that are looking to take their business and their life and their finances to the next level, but they're being shut out of opportunities. And so if you're somebody that's been thinking, why is it so hard? You're actually not alone. I actually went down that path myself and I found that funding your business is pretty difficult as a minority. There's a lot of loopholes and traps and things that you have to overcome for various reasons. And today I want to talk about what that looks like. So if you feel like you can't get ahead, if you feel like, wow, is it just me? Then I want to talk about why you feel that way. Because most people feel like when they're getting denied for funding, when they're getting denied opportunities, that they're just not qualified, when it's really just, it's not that. What's really going on is that we're in a system that was never built for minorities to begin with. And interesting facts is the research actually backs this up. So I was doing some research about this funding gap that I've been noticing. And mind you, I've been in this credit space for 10 years, y'all. I've been helping small business owners for the last decade with understanding credit and business funding and just getting the credit that they deserve. And so I've seen it firsthand that there is a gap and it's huge. And so I looked into some numbers, and according to the Federal Reserve, y'all, black business owners are denied loans at twice the rate of white business owners. This is according to the Federal Reserve, y'all, okay? 40% of black-owned firms say their credit score to lenders is too low. It's too low compared to 16% of white-owned firms. Minority-owned businesses that are approved receive lower amounts, often tens of thousands of dollars less. Could you imagine that here you are scraping, working hard, trying to get at least $30,000. Meanwhile, your counterparts over here are giving double, maybe even triple that amount just because of the privilege that they have in this system. Hispanic-owned business owners are 28% more likely to be denied for loans, even when their credit profile is similar. So when you look at the numbers, y'all, like if we're all doing math here and we can put two and two together, we can all see that the numbers are literally weighted and stacked against us. And so when you're sitting here thinking, or maybe you're feeling like disappointed, or you're feeling discouraged, you feel like you're giving up, you feel like it's just you, you're feeling like everybody's getting ahead, but I'm just not getting money. I mean, let's be real. The internet has a funny way of making people feel like they're not moving fast enough, or that they're getting denied opportunities that other people aren't. And that's not the case. The numbers actually say so. And so when you're looking at opportunities, you're getting denied, you feel like, wow, I just don't deserve it. But that could be the furthest from the truth. The reality of it is many small business owners, minority small business owners, are simply at a disadvantage. So while, you know, most entrepreneurs, they're starting off with generational wealth, they're starting off with, you know, family and friends that can give them money. Most minority business owners don't have that. They don't have generational wealth. They don't have any savings stacked up. You know, 70% of Americans don't even have $1,000 saved up in their bank accounts. And those same people are out here trying to start businesses so that they can have a savings. So you see where It's the gap. They don't have a savings. They're trying to grow a savings. They're creating businesses so that they can create opportunities so that they can. They don't have lines of credit or credit cards to fall back on. They don't have an extra set of a piece of property or collateral that they can trade in, any valuables that can help them with getting financing. And they don't have, a big mama, right, with a secret cash in the t in Uncle Pete's TV. So all they have at the end of the day is faith and a dream. And I know it because I've been there. I've walked those trenches. I still do with the small business owners that we work with every single day. And so small business owners are starting off on the wrong foot. They're already starting off at a disadvantage. They're starting behind the starting line. And that's just not fair. So if you're starting off with less money, if you're starting off with more debt, if you're starting off with fewer assets or collateral, then what can a lender possibly do for you? Because remember, lenders, what do they love? They love collateral, they love cash, reserve, savings. They love safety nets. That's what they love because they're in business to lend money and get paid back. And so they don't take on risk. And so when they're looking at hard business owners, small business owners, minority business owners that are out here hustling and they're out here boots to the ground, they're out here trying to make it work, they don't see that hustle. They don't see that grind. All they see is risk. And here's the thing. The funny thing is, this isn't like a recent phenomena. This is something that has been a part of American history. I don't know if y'all have heard about redlining. Redlining didn't disappear. It just evolved, right? Now, if you've never heard what redlining is something that has affected Black and Brown people since the beginning of time. And it was abolished in what, 1968 by the Fair Housing Act. And so, look, if y'all never heard about it, I'm gonna give y'all a really quick history lesson. So, the way it works is redlining was more of a discriminatory practice that was used for decades by banks, lenders, insurance companies, even the government. They literally drew red lines around certain neighborhoods. And they were normally Black and Brown minority communities. And they labeled these communities as high risk. And so you had, I think it was four categories. It was the green category, they were the best. These were the wealthy white areas. You had blue. Blue was like still desirable. Yellow was declining. Red was hazardous. These were usually my brother's sisters, Blacks, immigrants, type of neighborhoods. So if your home or your business was inside of any of those red lines, you couldn't get mortgages, you couldn't get insurance, you couldn't get business loans, you couldn't build equity. Your property value always stayed low, and investors avoided those areas entirely. There was no opportunity there. So even if you were financially stable, even if you had perfect credit and you did everything right, you still weren't given the opportunity. And it was more like discrimination, but they disguised it as risk management. And it lasted for 40 years. 40 years. It started in the 1930s and it was outlawed in 1968. But when you really think about it, 1968 isn't really all that long ago. There are still people alive that were born in 1968, earlier than 1968. So it's not really that long ago. And when you really look at what's happening, it really still exists. Redlining still, in a way, exists. The systematic effects still show up today, right? It shows up in lowered property values. I mean, those redlined areas, they're still worth less today. I mean, when you look at it's still that way. And those neighborhoods, they don't even really have financial institutions. They don't even really have banks. What you normally see in those neighborhoods are check cashing places, right? I lived on the south side of Chicago, 62nd and Hermitage. And everywhere, liquor stores, check cashing stations. I mean, the banks, and there were a few, but mostly local regional banks, not big institutions. So when you think about the fact that there are less banking institutions in these areas, it means that there's less capital available in these areas. They have normally they don't have good credit because people in these areas aren't taught about credit. They're taught to avoid credit. I know I was. My family, I remember my grandfather, just no, credit was a no. You don't use your credit. My mother, she was like, hey, you use your credit. You got to build your credit. But most people, minorities especially, live under the cash is king mindset. But the problem with that mindset is that we don't live in a cash-based society. Our society, our economy is debt-based. It is a credit-based society. Your dollar bill is debt. So when you think about the economy, the system that we're in, we have to understand the components to the system and so that we can put the rules together, understand the rules so that we can play the game and actually win, right? So if you have bad credit because I mean, no, nobody taught you how to have good credit. People in our school districts and schools aren't teaching us how to have good credit. So where are you supposed to learn? Most of us learn through trial and error and making mistakes. That's how it works. But if you don't have banking institutions, if you don't have education, if you don't have resources, then you're already, like I said, at a disadvantage. I was reading a study back that said back in 2023, it found that previously redlined neighborhoods are 64% more likely to be denied funding today, even though those maps don't even exist anymore. The damage still does. So look, this is really important for entrepreneurs to know. And the reason why you need to know it is because it's not just about you, right? It's not always about you. A lot of the times when we get declined or rejected for something, we take it personally, right? We get emotional, we take it personally. But what you got to understand is that you're facing an entire system that was built without our community. Our community wasn't included in building that system. A wealth gap created by decades of exclusion is also at play. An algorithm, these credit algorithms and approval algorithms, they're trained on biased historical data. Now, I have a lot to say about this, especially related to the evolvement of AI. Oh, but that is a whole nother podcast. But really think about, how does history affect our day-to-day right now? Because if lending models are penalizing you for your zip code, come on, give me a break. So understand that when you are denied opportunities, it's not always because you are not qualified or because you just don't deserve it or that it's never going to happen for you. It's because you are a part of a system that you don't truly understand. Okay, that's the bottom line. The reason why wealthy whites understand it is because they've already done the legwork. They've already built the relationships, which is another disadvantage that minority business owners have, is that you don't have buddy buddy relationships with bankers. You don't have a Rolodex with people that have access to money, and that is a disadvantage. See, the thing is this. Funding is not just about applications, it's also about relationships. Think about it this way. A lot of people, wealthy whites, grew up with families who had literally a family banker, They regularly walked into banks and branches for guidance on financial tips or education. They knew that banking was a relationship thing. They knew this. They were aware of it. But many minority entrepreneurs, they didn't have that. They didn't have a relationship with a banker. They didn't understand how to position themselves for as lower risk. They just don't know. We don't know. We're never taught any of these things. Not to mention the unbankable, right? The unbanked. There are so many more minorities that don't even have a bank account. So if you're unbanked as a person, you don't even have a banking relationship. So these are the disadvantages. And so if you don't have banking relationships, then you don't have a step in the door. And the step in the door is having a banking relationship. And so, you know, these numbers, these are not small gaps. These represent generational divides. Right? If your great grandfather had a relationship with somebody else that had a relationship with somebody else that had a business and bank, come on, man. Relationships really do matter. And they have consequences, especially for entrepreneurs. And I get it. It's hard to build a funding relationship with a bank when, historically speaking, they've been shut out, right? As a black and brown business owner, you've been historically shut out. We have been historically shut out of these systems. And so it's hard to trust a system that didn't really give you a reason to trust them. And we think about even banks like Wells Fargo that still gets in trouble for their their practices that are harmful to minorities. You have to wonder, can I trust them? So, but nevertheless, the thing is this, you still have to do it. You still have to develop the relationships now, because when we don't have long-term banking relationships, lenders don't get to see stability. They don't get to see any history like deposits or cash flow patterns, or your behavior as far as saving money, spending money, is your account going into overdraft? These are the things that banks are looking to see, like, can I trust this person? Because ultimately, lending is all based on trust. That's what banks make their decisions off of. Can I trust this person to pay me back? And so when you think about people that have, let's say, you know, bank accounts that they've had since they were in high school, and they've built this history over time, it's no wonder why they're getting more opportunity than someone that has never done it. So, you know, getting a bank account is one of the better things that any business owner can do, because there you are building a relationship. You're starting a relationship. Also, another reason why people, small business owners, minorities are getting denied is because they don't have any credit. Oh, man. Like, I have literally built a whole living platform, everything around just this one topic alone, because this credit system can make or break you. And I have experienced it for myself, what it feels like to have bad credit. And then I know what it feels like to have great credit. I know what it feels like to be on the other side. And so we have to talk about personal credit, because for minority communities, credit becomes a struggle before you even really understand it, because our households, our school systems, even some religious teachings have contributed to these confusing type of messages that we have even about money just in general. Like, I remember hearing things like don't borrow money, money is evil, credit is evil, cash is king. If you can't afford it twice, don't buy it, which isn't bad advice. But, you know, as a consumer, but as an entrepreneur, it's like you have to think differently. Debt is a sin. Like these ways of thinking, these are consumer ways of thinking. They're not entrepreneurial ways of thinking. So, the problem with this approach, this cash-based way of thinking, is that it doesn't build credit. And credit is what builds trust with lenders. So you can't ignore your credit when you're trying to build wealth, when you're trying to build a business, when you're trying to leverage and get further faster. You need resources. 85% of businesses, I'm sorry, 92% of businesses fail in the first 5 years because they don't have any capital. 92%. Can you believe it? That's a crazy huge percentage. And it's all boils down to the fact that they don't have any capital. They don't have access to capital. They have poor personal credit. They're already behind the ball. When you compare the fact that, you're getting these mixed messages, but wealthy white children are being added to their parents' credit cards at 15 years old. They're getting a credit card so they can practice using it, right? Use it for gas, use it for, paying your cell phone bill. There's banking conversations that are actually happening at the dinner table in these communities. Now, these children are being groomed to see credit and money as something amazing. They're not being pumped with fear. So by the time they're 18, they have 720 credit scores. They have great payment history. They already know how to use it. Their parents are co-signing on things. They have confidence. And so their exposure is building and creating confidence. Meanwhile, in our communities, is building fear. And fear is destroying opportunities. So we've got to work on the credit. And here's the thing, though, too. It's not just a financial gap, it's also psychological. Because, well, one, minorities, they're normally the only person in their business. They're the only person starting and growing it. And it's incredibly a heavy weight to carry. And so when you don't have good credit, then you're going to have to deal with other consequences, right? Like if you borrow even money with bad credit, you're going to get higher interest rates, which means you're going to spend more money over time. You're not going to be able to save that money. Are you going to be able to do or even take a look at our high-risk options that have incredibly high interest rates again? And so, we just want to put ourselves in the best situation so that we can succeed financially. And best thing that you can do, y'all, is get your personal credit together. Get your personal credit together. Get your business credit together because these are systems that are required to play at higher levels. Business credit isn't even something that we're even taught. That's a huge disadvantage. I learned this the hard way. When I first started my business, about 2 years in, I had racked up $30,000 of credit card debt trying to build my business because I didn't know anything about business credit. And then my mentor at the time told me, Jerry, you shouldn't be doing that. You need to be using business credit so that you can grow your business. I said, bet. How do I do that? She showed me the ropes. The first month, I got my first line of credit for $30,000 and I got a loan for, I think it was like $12,000 at the time. But I had gotten over $30,000 of credit and funding that I could use to grow my business. So I use it for marketing, I use it to scale it up, and we had tripled our revenue in 90 days because I was able to leverage business credit. I was able to pay off my debts. It was awesome. And so we've got to start using also business credit because minority business owners, especially, they tend to use their social security number for everything in their business. They don't build business trade lines. They normally do skip over funding compliance steps. So you have to have a solid foundation before you start getting funding, my friends. So you're going to need LLC, bank accounts, phone numbers, EIN, insurance, licensing, like there's so many foundational things that you need to get done first. So you got to get that stuff done. But many minority business owners don't do it first. And so they go applying for things that they aren't really set up properly for, and then they get denied. And then also, a lot of people do tend to co-mingle their finances. I've been there, I've done that, but you've got to separate everything so that your books will be clean, and then you can actually approach a lender, an investor, with an actual package that they can use and they can actually fund, because they're not going to put business funds into your personal bank account, sis, bro. It's not going to happen. You need to have a business bank account so they can get the business funds deposited into the business bank account. Now, let's talk about documentation and bookkeeping, because y'all, I know it's exciting to make money, but in business, you have to track your money. You got to track where the money is coming from. You got to track where the money is going. You need profit and loss statements. You need documentation, because a minority, I understand, business owners, we're doing everything. It really is hard to do everything. It's hard to be sales, marketing, customer service, content creator, bookkeeper, accountant. It is a lot. I really do understand it. But one thing that we cannot do in business is ignore our money. And we cannot mismanage it either. Let me tell you something. What you do in your personal finances is going to bleed into your business, without a doubt. And so if you're not budgeting, if you're not tracking your finances on your personal side now, you're not going to do it in your business. And your business requires you to track where the money is going, where the cash is flowing, because these are questions that business owners are going, lenders, I'm sorry, are going to want to know about. And so if you are denied because you don't have any bookkeeping, like it's non-existent or it's poor, then we've got to fix that. And so the thing is, if you want to get funding, you are going to have to sign up for software like QuickBooks so that you can track your finances and your where the money's going. Even if you're a cash-based business, you should still be ringing invoices. You should still be, you know, printing receipts so that you can have a paper trail. You can have a track record that lenders can actually take a look at, because if you just got cash going everywhere, they don't know where this cash is coming from. So you need to have actual receipts and invoices that show who's paying, where is it coming from, where is it going, etc. Now, 55% of business owners, they do get denied for funding because they don't have any type of bookkeeping or accounting systems. So please, please, please don't be one of those 55% of people, my friends. Please don't. This is what causes people to be underfunded. Now, the thing that I've realized about minority business owners is that we do dominate service-based businesses, and service-based businesses are sometimes considered high risk. So when you're talking about hairstylists, barbers, mechanics, coaches, consultants, social media creators, service providers, like if it's a cash-based business, things can get a little tricky. So always make sure that you have a bookkeeping service that is tracking your finances so that you know where the money is going, where the money is coming from, and that when a funding professional asks you for a profit and loss statement, then your accounting software can pull that document for you very easy breezy. Next, the industry that you might be in is probably high risk. Okay, so if you're getting denied, that may be the reason why. There are a lot of high risk businesses, but they're normally cash based businesses. So cash based businesses are normally high risk. You also have like trucking, transportation, food businesses, catering, cleaning services, hospitality. Those are actually considered high risk. And so just do yourself a favor by tracking your numbers to ensure that you don't get denied for that reason. But some industries will get denied automatically by some lenders, because some lenders just don't lend to high risk industries. And minorities are, I mean, they feel those industries. They really do. And so the industry might be a reason why you might get denied, but just to help you with that, just make sure you have your bookkeeping tight. Okay. So when you think about all the things that are getting you denied out here, you may be wondering, well, what do they actually want? What do lenders really want? Well, lenders, they want some very simple things, y'all. They want you to have good credit, they want you to have some cash flow, or they want you to maybe have some collateral, some assets, something that you can borrow against. So if you want to be seen as low risk, if you want to be seen as stable, if you want to be seen as trustworthy, then you need to have at least a 680 credit score. You need to have a strong business credit scores. You need to have a business bank account that's getting consistent deposits. These can be cash deposits, but remember that cash needs to be attached to some invoices, some legitimate invoices. They also want to see bank balances that don't go into the negative. They want to see clean bookkeeping and statements. They want to see you have at least 6 to 12 months in business, sometimes 2 years, like 24 months in business if you're going for some type of business loans. They want you to have a compliant business. They want to make sure that you're not, like stressed out and overwhelmed with debt, because if you have too much debt, they are not going to approve you. And that's pretty much all they want. That's pretty much all they want. That's it. As long as you have some strong financials and documentation to back it up, that's all they really care about. So the best thing that you can ever do to ensure and increase your odds of getting approved is strengthen your personal credit first. This is not optional, by the way. If you want to leverage your credit to get ahead, you have to strengthen your personal credit. Second, you need to build business credit because it's mandatory. You need to separate your personal and your business finances so that lenders can actually take you seriously. Organize your financial documents. Seriously, like get your EIN number, your paperwork, get your paperwork for certifications of organizations, your LLC documentation. Like just get all that documentation and just put it in a folder, because you are going to be asked for it continuously. They are going to ask you for it when you apply for loans or credit cards. They're going to ask for these type of things, bank accounts. So just keep all this stuff in a folder somewhere so that you can more so easily access it, or give someone access to this folder should they ask for it. Also, diversify your funding options and sources, because there are so many different type of funding options out here. We actually did a master class on this recently about the different types of funding options out here. You have CDFIs, you have community banks, you have minority focused programs, SBA programs, business lines of credit, you've got grants. There's so many different types of funding programs out here. And we actually talked about it in a webinar. So I'm actually going to link it below this video, this audio, so that you can check it out. It's at smartcreditcoach.com/mastermind. That's smartcreditcoach.com/mastermind, where you can actually see a replay of that webinar, because it really lays out some of the best funding options out here for small business owners. Next, focus on being fundable, not just like being hopeful about it. Like, have an actual strategy. I say it all the time. Hope is not a strategy. Getting funding is having a strategy. Getting funded is, it's strategic. It's not something that just happens because you just want it. It's because it's something that you actually go for. So just remember that if you've gone for funding, if you got denied and you're just not really sure why, just understand that you're playing within a system that was built without you in mind. But the great news is that all you have to do is learn the game. All you have to learn is the system. All you have to do is get a better understanding, get educated on it. Because once you get educated on something, they can't take that away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. And that's exactly what we do. We educate you on what you need to do, through our smart credit methodology. This way, you'll have the clarity, you'll have the education, you'll have the steps and the resources to get the funding that you truly need and you deserve to grow and scale your business. And so I want to see more small business owners, minorities, especially with getting funding for their businesses. We've helped over 15,000 small business owners so far with understanding where to get started with funding their businesses, how to get credible, how to get funded, how to build their business credit and position themselves to get the yeses on those applications and to get banks to compete with each other to give them money. And so if you're a minority small business owner, you're trying to get funding for your business, you're not really sure where to start, we will be more than happy to help you here at Smart Credit Solutions. So here's the thing. Getting funding for your business is not impossible. It is it's achievable. We have helped plenty of small business owners with making it happen. In fact, one of our coaches, her name is Nikki, she started with us and got approved for $75,000 in funding for her business as a startup. And it was because she followed our smart credit methods. And so it's not hard to do it. It's just about understanding the philosophy, understanding the system, and actually getting it done. And so if you are a minority business owner, you're trying to get funding, you've tried in the past, you got denied, don't give up. We are here to help you out. We'd be more than happy to, in fact. So other than that, if you do need some help, then you can hit us up at smartcreditcoach.com and feel free to schedule a consultation, and we'll be more than happy to see how we can best assist you with helping you get the credit that you deserve. But thank you for listening to the Smart Credit Experience. If today's episode helped you gain clarity, confidence, or direction, share with somebody that you love. To dive deeper into credit funding or becoming a certified Smart Credit Consultant, visit smartcreditcoach.com. Other than that, I'll see you in the next episode. And remember, we help you get the credit that you deserve. Take care.